story. The reason why I picked this is that I can remember early on in my ministry, I thought that I was part of His glory. And then I learned that it's not about me. Amen. You know, in his book, Rick Warner, The Purpose-Driven Life, it starts out, "It's not about you." Hey, stranger, welcome. It's good to have you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's give a hand clap for our special visitor. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and for your pleasure they were created." Did you know that you were created for His pleasure? You know, we are a pleasure-driven society right now. We have, you know, when I was a kid, I was the remote, as many of you were, for the TV. And if you didn't count the public education channel, you've had three really entertaining channels. Channel 2, Channel 6, and Channel 8 out of Tulsa anyway. And that was our entertainment. And now, you know, we got about 30 over-the-air channels, plus or minus, in this area. And then if you have any streaming services, you can watch any number of programs. On Prime, I have been, you know, I kind of like things that are PG rated, you know, back in the innocent days. In fact, this week over the air, I watched a Leave It to Beaver before work. But I've kind of been on a monk trip. You know, that's actually far enough back that there's probably not a lot of unwholesome stuff in it. You know, I mean, it may show a murder or something. That's a very entertaining show. But, you know, we're all about being entertained, aren't we? We're all about ourselves and what we want and how we want it and when we want it. And we've got all of these things at our disposal, whether it's TV shows or drive-through food or ice cream. Speaking of entertaining, I had some pineapple sherbet when I got home from Joni's last night at 10 o'clock. I shouldn't have. My blood sugar was higher than it should have been this morning. You know what Joni told me? She said, "You should eat ice cream with a fork." And I said, "A fork?" She goes, "Yeah." And by golly, it's easier to spoon it out. It's easier to eat it till it gets soupy, and then it's a whole other story, but that has nothing to do with the sermon. So we are always looking for ways to please ourselves. Our flesh wants to be entertained. It wants to be pleased. And yet, the Scripture says that we were created for His pleasure. Amen? For Him. Our life is not our own. When we get saved, He bought us. You know, we want Him to buy us for heaven and our redemption and all of those benefits of heaven, but we don't always want Him to buy us for our schedule. We want our schedule to be our schedule. We want our entertainment to be our entertainment. But we see in heaven that we will be singing, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and for Your pleasure they were created." And so we're going to talk about that this morning. Amen. Passage that God is speaking to ancient Israel, but certainly can be applied to us, Isaiah 43, beginning in verse 1. "But now, thus says the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee." Again, purchased, right? "I've called you by name. You are whose? You are mine," right? You belong to Him. "When you pass through the water, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon you." And as I said earlier, we want the benefits of being His. We just don't always want the restrictions. And you know, what a benefit that is when you go through the floods and you go through the fire, God is saying, "I'm going to take care of you." Amen? I'm glad that. I'm glad He's taking care of us. Verse 3, I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, the Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee or for you. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honorable, and I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for you and people for your life." Look at that. I've loved you. Look at that. You've been honorable. You're precious in my sight. Did you know you're precious in God's sight? When he looks at you, he sees you as something precious. You know, I have a beautiful granddaughter who's 3 years old. And I, what night was it? I guess it was it Tuesday night? The week is ran together. I think it was. I took him a chest of drawers for her bedroom that I had. And they said, well, no, it's Friday night. I go, yeah, Friday night they do pizza and a movie, kids' night, you know, kids' movie. And so we're eating pizza at the dining room table with my son Harrison and his wife Katrina and the kids. And I mentioned Joni and our date to get married. And she said, Grandpa, I want to marry you. 3 years old. Yeah. I mean, and you say, well, isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? 3 years old, they're so precious at that age, you know. And then when we watched Transylvania vampire cartoon, whatever it was, she had to come over and she just got right next to me and leaned her head in my rib cage, shared her popcorn with me. And you know, you say, oh, that's so precious. But you know, when God looks at you through the blood of Jesus Christ, he says, isn't he precious? Isn't she precious? We are precious in his sight. And then verse 5, so fear not. You know, we live in a society, in an age, we see what's going on in the world, and it's easy to get a little freaked out. But he says, fear not, because I'm with you. You know, I wake up in the morning, and I thank God that he's with me. Before I drift off, I thank God that he's with me. Jesus said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And we can take that to the bank. He said, don't be afraid. I'm with you. I will bring your seed from the east and gather you from the west. And I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And then verse 7, even everyone that is called by my name. Do you know we are called by his name? Jesus is the Christ and we are Christians. Amen. We are called by his name. For I have created him, you can search your name there, for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, I have made him. You know, when God made you, in the eons past, and he did make you long before you were conceived in your mother's womb, he knew you even then, amen, and he redeemed you even then. He wrote your name in his book even then, before the foundations of the earth, and you were created in him for God's glory, for the glory of God, amen. And so when you do something that brings pleasure to God, he's like, look there, they're giving me glory. You know, we think of worship as coming to church and singing songs, but you know, our worship is bringing glory to God, amen? It's pointing people to the God that saved us. It's showing them, look, I'm not anything, it's all God, and we give him the glory, amen? Created for his glory. Now, I know you guys have heard my pop bottle story. Probably everybody here has told it, but I'm going to tell it again because as I was thinking about the glory of God, Diane's shaking her head. You haven't heard my pop bottle story? All right, good reason to tell it for the 50th time. For the 50th time. So, I grew up in West Tulsa, but there was a half a year when my mom was homesick for her mother, and we moved to Tahlequah. I was in fourth grade, and we lived, what's that donut shop on Downing, Sunrise? My Aunt Maxine had a cafe on one side, and we lived and rented the other side. And when my cousin Gary, who I was really close to, would come and visit, we would walk down Downing to go downtown. And as we get to the park right there, across from Love's, I guess it is, right? There used to be a huge pipe that came out of the ground and went right up parallel to the bridge right there where the creek goes through the park, and then went back into the ground. And we would go down there and we'd use it like monkey bars and drop on that little sandbar or gravel bar and we'd go underneath Downing because we could find pop bottles there. And most of us know back in those days, you know, they were deposit pop bottles, and so I think they were worth about a nickel a piece. And so we would find usually about four of them, and we'd rinse the mud out in the creek, and we'd toss them up that grassy slope. And I think it's a burger joint there now. It used to be a DX station right there. And so we'd go up, and we'd, with four pop bottles, we could, if we drank them there and didn't take the bottles, they were a dime a piece, we could get us a free pop. And we'd drink our pop, and then we'd go on to look at Ben Franklin's, toys at Ben Franklin's. So now the reason we could do that is there was a word on that pop bottle that said redeemable. It meant it had value and it was worth something. Now, the people that threw it over the creek didn't need the nickel like someone in fourth grade did, or they didn't recognize that it was redeemable, that it had value. And, you know, that's what the devil does. He pops our top and he sucks everything good out of us and he throws us away. And I remember years ago, in fact, I was thinking I might tell this on the last service because I do like to reflect on things that have happened over the years. But I remember a husband and wife visiting the church, and I told my pop bottle story. And when I got to the part about how the devil pops our top and sucks everything good out of us and throws us away, but Jesus searches us out because we're redeemable, I remember the man was stone-faced and the woman had hot tears coming down her face. You know, pastors see things that nobody else sees from this perspective. And you know, it's so true, because the devil tells you you're not worth anything, that he can just throw you away and nobody loves you. But Jesus loves us. We are redeemable. We have value. Now, I said all that to say, along the same lines, and this is something I never said before, is, you know, the whole recycle process is that God then fills you back up with something good and makes, you know, the Bible says he makes all things new. We're new creatures in Christ. So it's like a brand new bottle of knee-high orange, ice-cold orange soda. And what was once stolen by the devil, God pays back. He refills. But when he refills it, guess what? It may be that hot day, and of course I know God doesn't get hot, but just go with the analogy here, where he says, you know what? A cold knee-high would taste good to me right now. And he pops the top and he drinks some of that knee-high orange that he recycled, renewed, and he says, ah, that's so refreshing, right? And you know, because we were created for his glory, he does a work in our life. And then there may be a time where he wants to taste his creation in you and says, oh, look at that. Look at what has accomplished in her life, in his life. That's so refreshing to me, because he was created for his glory, for his pleasure. Amen. So he can taste and say, look what Jesus and the Holy Spirit and I have done in their lives. Oh, how beautiful he has made this person. Amen. And so we're created for his glory. Now in Exodus 4:11, the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Well, let me just give you the context of this. God is telling Moses that he wants him to go to Pharaoh, right? And Moses has a speech impediment. He stutters. And so he's you need to pick Aaron. I can't do this, right? And so the Lord says, who made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb or the deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now that'll kind of mess with your theology a little bit. We don't think about God saying, I made the deaf or I made the dumb. But he, you know, years ago, the Lord set me free when I recognized the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God says God can do whatever he wants with my life. Even if it's break my vase in a million pieces. And I'm like, Lord, I'm the preacher. This isn't supposed to happen to me. You know? And yet it does. Because God is sovereign. And we don't always understand why God does certain things. We don't understand why this is happening to me or whatever. But the sovereign move of God is not about me. It's about his glory. Amen. And so when God says, you know, I can do whatever I want to, Moses. And if I pick you, even though you stutter, it's not about you. It's about my glory. And if and somebody who's deaf or dumb or whatever, you know, and you say, well, God, why would you do that? Well, you don't always understand why God does stuff, but He does everything for His glory. It's for His glory. And we're down here trying to understand it at our level, but His ways are so much higher than ours. And we have to understand that it's not about me. It's not about what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm preaching, what I'm singing, what about. It's about the glory of God. Amen. It's about bringing glory to Him. At the end of the day, it's got to point to Him and not to me. Amen. Now, in Genesis 1:26, of course, God said, let us make man, what? In our image. Amen. Man is made in the image of God because it's supposed to point to God. Amen. Now, obviously, after the fall, after Lucifer and the fall, we don't always reflect the image of God. Even as Christians, even filled with the Holy Spirit, we don't always reflect the image of God. Sometimes we reflect the image of self. But that was God's plan, that we would represent the image of God, so that when people saw us, they saw God. So when people experienced a reaction with us, they experienced the glory of God. Amen. And so we are to be like little mirror fragments. You know, have you ever, when you're a kid, have you ever had a little mirror and you reflect the sun and you hit someone's eyes with it, and you know, and or you see if you can catch an ant on fire or a leaf on fire. Some of you guys might have done that, you know. But we are to reflect the light of God. And so when they see us, they see Christ. And because God created us that way. That was His purpose. Amen. All right. And then we get to Genesis 11. This is the Tower of Babel. Look at what they say. Go and let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach to heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. You notice, make us a name. You see the difference? The Tower of Babel was all about man making a name for himself. You know, and the world measures that as success, right? You know, I mean, he really made a name for himself. You know, he's in Las Vegas singing or wherever, you know. He really made a name for himself, you know. But when we breathe our last breath, that doesn't bring glory to God. I may be worldly successful, well-known, have money in the bank, people know me by name, people want my autograph, you know. That's not a measure of success in the kingdom of God. It may be in the world, but certainly not in the kingdom of God. And so this tower that they were going to reach to heaven was the purpose of making a name for themselves to the glory of man. But then we get to the next chapter in Genesis, chapter 12, where the Lord first begins to talk to Abram before He even changes His name to Abraham. And He says, get out of the country and from your kindred and from your father's house into a land that I will show you. You notice God always begins with separating people from their worldly environment. Amen. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't have a relationship with our parents or our family. But you know, when we come to Christ, we are inherited into a new family. Amen. And some of the things that our old family does often pulls us away from Christ, those worldly associations. Amen. So He separates him first from his father's house. And then He says, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And when we come to Jesus Christ, we can be a blessing, but we have to let God move us where God wants to be, because we are created for His glory. Amen. And so we contrast the builders of the Tower of Babel with this relationship with Abraham or Abram. And we see that God has to be in it, and God has to make the decisions, and you have to go where God tells you to go. And then you begin to be allowed to be that mirror fragment to reflect the glory of God. Praise God. In John chapter 9, Jesus is passing by and He sees a man that was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind. And Jesus answered, neither did this man sin, nor his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. That goes back to what I said earlier about the sovereignty of God. You know, when we say, God, why? Why did this happen to me? Why is my child born blind? Or why is my child born deaf? Or why did I get in this accident? And why am I disabled now? Or why am I in a financial collapse? Or why am I going through this depression or whatever? And I'm not saying the devil sometimes doesn't have a role in that. But you know, ultimately God is sovereign. If you are his child, even if the devil's attacked you, you can trust God. Amen. He will see you through. But Jesus points out that, you know, instead of us thinking that sin had something to do with it, we give the devil sometimes a whole lot more credit than we should. Jesus is simply saying that, you know, through this, God is going to be glorified. Through this, God is going to be glorified. You know what? If you're going through something right now, I want you to just stop for a minute and think inside yourself, or you can say it out loud if you want, that I don't understand this, but because I'm a child of God, God is going to be glorified in this. Amen? God's going to be glorified in this. And ultimately, if you have a sincere heart and want to please God, even though it may be uncomfortable, you have to say, Lord, more than my comfort, I want your glory. More than getting me out of the fire, I want your glory. More than being entertained or comfortable or at ease, I want your glory. I want your glory. Do you know, since Joni and I met in February, I've probably put her on the altar about 15 times. I've said, Lord, this looks really promising, but I'm putting her on the altar, and you can close the door because ultimately I want your glory. And, you know, as a child of God, we have to do that with everything in our life. You have to, like Abraham was told to put Isaac on the altar, you have to put it on the altar. You have to surrender it so that God ultimately gets the glory. We were created for his glory. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you're doing, make sure it's for the glory of God and not the glory of self. Amen. You have to ask yourself, am I doing this for the glory of God or am I doing this for the glory of self? Is this pointing to Jesus or pointing to me? Is God going to get glory or do I want to hear the applause of men? It's got to be for the glory of God. Amen. So Paul tells the Corinthians, who was the most carnal of all the churches, you know, who was the most carnal of all the churches, I say that again, whether you're eating or drinking or whatever you're doing, make sure it's for the glory of God. Check your motives. Double check your motives. Ask yourself, am I doing this for the glory of God? And if you're not, don't do it. Or repent. Amen. Praise God. In Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they pat you on the back. No. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and say, attaboy. That they may see your good works and what? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. When people see your good works, when people see that you've done something for the Lord, when people see your light shining, you want the glory to go to God. You want the glory to go to God. Early into my ministry, I would have people say to me, Brother Roger, what a sermon. Man, that blessed me. And I didn't know how to respond, and another pastor told me. Because I didn't want to be rude and not say thank you, but I wanted the glory to go to God, and I feel uncomfortable. What do I say? Thank you? He said, say praise the Lord. I said, all right, I like that. You know, just pass the praise on to God. If God uses me in some capacity, praise the Lord. Don't take the applause of man. Just pass it on to him because it has to be for the glory of God. Amen. And then 2 Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should, Paul speaking, lest I should be exalted above measure. You see, God won't let you take the credit. If you're a child of God, at some point he will reel you in, right? If your head starts swelling, he will reel you in. And Paul says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. You know, man, this guy had more revelation about Jesus Christ than anybody else. Wrote the majority of the New Testament. So that I wouldn't get a big head, that's my paraphrase of that, because of my great revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. How many of you guys have ever had a thorn in the flesh? Don't look at someone next to you. I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should, and he says it again, get a big head, be exalted above measure. And so, you know, sometimes the very things that we want to go away are the very things that God has put there so that we make sure that he gets the glory. He goes on to say, for this thing I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. Lord, take this away. Lord, take this away. Lord, take this away. And finally he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And that really comes down to the final question about this topic. Do you want the power of Christ to rest upon you? Do you want God to be able to use you? Are you in it for His glory? And if you do, then you're going to gladly accept the thorns that He sends to keep you humble. Whew! That's easy to say, it's hard to do. This year has been hard on me. I hate being alone, in case you haven't noticed. I've probably said it before. I hate being alone. But in looking back of over a year alone, I say, Lord, praise God. You have taught me so much about me. There's been days I've cried. There's been days my hands shook. There's been days I questioned why. But it was the thorn in my flesh that I needed for the glory of God. And I thank God for it. And so you have to thank God for the thorns in the flesh. You have to thank Him for the lonely nights. You have to thank Him for whatever situation you're in that you don't like, because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's that God gets glory in the end. Amen. So Paul then says, therefore I take pleasure in infirmity. Paul, you can do that. It's hard for the rest of us. He's just, I love just being in hot water. I love infirmity. I love pain. I love suffering. Paul, are you crazy, man? Therefore I take pleasure in infirmity, in reproach, in necessity, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sakes, for when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. When I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. My strength is greatest in Christ when I am weakest in self. When my self is weak, then the Jesus in me is strong. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, one more verse from Isaiah. Isaiah 48:9. For my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. See, up to now, it's, oh, Jesus, we're precious in His sight. But, of course, backslidden Israel, they weren't real precious in His sight at some point in their history, were they? And we don't always do everything we should either. But, you know, the reason God hasn't cut you off and some of the stupid things you've done and things I've done is for His name's sake. Amen? It's His reputation that you may be slurring by the stupid things you do or I do. And He says, so for my name's sake, I'm not going to just wipe you out. Behold, I've refined you, but not with silver. I have chosen you in the furnace of affliction. Again, the affliction. For again, my own sake, even my own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory to another? You know, if you're doing things that you shouldn't do, sin, lust, greed, pride, arrogance, anger, jealousy, envy, strife, the works of the flesh, that doesn't bring glory to God. It doesn't. And all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But He says, for my own sake, I'm going to do this because I don't want your sin polluting my name. Think about that. My sin can pollute God's name. My witness can bring a reproach to Christ when I sin. And my life needs to bring glory to Him. Amen. And so, if you're a child of God, He will give you a whooping. He will put you in the furnace of affliction until you pass the test, because He will not let you pollute His name. He will not let your action bring a reproach to His name. Praise the Lord. So I'm ending this, and Diane, you can come on up, with the same verse that we begin, Revelation 4:11, where we are singing, He's worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for He has created all things, and for His pleasure we were created. For His pleasure. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You today that though sometimes these kind of messages are a little hard to swallow, though sometimes we don't like to think about the furnace of affliction, or we don't like to think about the actions that we have committed bringing a reproach or polluting Your name, we need to hear them. We need to be reminded that we were created for Your pleasure, that it's not about us. And we want to bring glory to Your name. We want to bring glory to Your name, Lord. So we ask You this morning to forgive us for the times that it was about us, the times that we were more interested in the applause of men, times that we were wondering what will they think of this or that, when we should be thinking, what will Jesus think? And so we ask You to forgive us this morning, Lord, to help our lives to be those mere fragments that reflect the light of Your glory back to You and the people around us. We love You, Lord. We need You. We cannot make it without You. When we're weak, then we're strong, for Your grace is sufficient for us. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you this week, and may His presence go with you, and may you experience a reminder that at the right opportunity, you can reflect the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming.